Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, hosted by author Michael DeCamp and his family. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch studios, this podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll find interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, and performers, as well as friendly banter about any number of topics. Turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. I'm your host, Michael DeCamp. I'm here with my co-host,
Angela DeCamp.
And we are here wrapping up our season that was the year 2020.
It was quite a year. It was a year.
It was definitely a year. And
one we'd soon like to forget, I would say.
Maybe we would like to do a George Bailey on it.
I don't know.
And, you know.
I've never heard that phrase, do a George Bailey.
Well,
do you
know,
think enough people would get that reference?
Well, I don't know. There's probably a lot of people who would, you know, from It's a Wonderful Life. He wanted to be, you know.
Wished it never happened kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Something.
I think that it would actually end up good, though. You know, I'm down with that. Although, honestly, 2020 probably wasn't as bad. Like, obviously, I don't want to put down people's tragedy and all the bad stuff that happened, but I'm trying to find a way to be okay with the year. So I'm like, maybe it wasn't all bad.
Well, it wasn't all bad for me. I had some good things that happened in my life, but
I don't know. We're planning on talking about some of those.
Yeah, we'll talk about those in a couple minutes. I don't want to talk about them too heavily, though, because it was such a heavy year overall. And even though I had good things that happened to me, I can't wait for this year to be over.
Because
It was a burden.
You're kind of a social butterfly. Like, I think this is hard for you because, you know, you're a people person, and I think you draw some energy from connecting with others, and it's just, you know, you're living out here. And
I draw energy from other people until I'm exhausted, and then I have to go into some alone time.
Yeah, but then
I go back out, and I have to have time around people.
Yeah.
You know, I've got my favorite restaurant a couple of miles away that I eat lunch there almost every week. And I think I've been there 4 times this year.
Yeah.
So it's been.
But it'll give you something
tough.
Really exciting to look forward to as well.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah. So anyway, you may have noticed out there in podcast listening land that we haven't had as many episodes in the last 6 months as we had previous to that. I think we've published 25 episodes. But there's only been maybe 3 or 4 since about April.
Yeah, and that's due, I know you guys are probably shocked, it's due to COVID-19.
Yes.
We just have tried really hard to be careful, and some of that has meant we haven't been able to see each other.
Yeah.
Not as frequently. So,
And we've tried some experiments.
Yeah, we've done some over the phone. And that's why we haven't had really as many interviews, too, because I think it is a little more challenging to do it over the phone consistently.
Yeah, I actually enjoy the face-to-face interaction with the people that we're interviewing. And it's tough for me when I'm just hearing their voice.
Yeah, it's not like impossible. I know a lot of people, that's how they do their interviews, and they're pretty successful podcasts. But there is something nice about having somebody over to your studio and, you know, making a cup of coffee for everybody and just, you know, having a conversation. It feels nice.
Yeah. And actually, just to let you all know, this will be the last podcast that we're going to do for about 3 months.
Approximately. We don't really know the exact start date yet because, you know, the world doesn't really know where just it's going.
To give you something to look forward to, one of our previous guests, I'm going to have them back. They're going to reprise their visit because she has a new book releasing this spring.
It's really exciting.
Yeah. So Angela Jackson Brown will be coming back probably in the spring.
Don't know exactly when.
Yeah.
She was one of my favorite guests that we've had so far.
Well,
I really like her.
Yes. And, you know, I got to know Angela during a book signing event. She had a presence about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so pleased to have gotten to know her and to become friends with her. So
I'm happy for her with this new release.
Yeah. And she signed, since she was with us, she signed a formal book deal. You know, it's like, you know, when she was here, she didn't have a formal book deal. And she basically had done a lot of it herself, and now she's got the she's hit kind of a bigger level. So mm-hmm. it's pretty awesome for her, and we're going to get her in here and have a conversation about her new book that's coming out. Yeah. So looking forward to that. We'll do that in the spring. That may be our first episode when we come back.
We'll maybe. See. Maybe not. Well, who knows?
Yeah, we don't really
know. But we're coming back. We're just taking another bit of a break. Yeah. Just don't expect much out of us.
We're kind of hoping that this thing, you know, that the people get vaccinated. When the vaccine comes out and you have the opportunity, get vaccinated.
Well, and also, it is still important to not just throw away your mask and pretend that everything's back to normal, even as soon as you get vaccinated, because there is sort of a delay period for until, you know, you've built up the immunity.
Yeah.
So please help us help you by giving us a chance to give you the podcast earlier.
Yeah. I mean, I want to do the podcast more regularly. I want to visit my favorite restaurants again. And, I'm tired of, people that I care about getting really, really sick or even dying. I've had a couple of people that I know that have passed away from COVID-19 this last year. And frankly, it sucks.
Yeah.
It just sucks. And part of getting this thing back is wearing our masks, following good protocol with regards to being socially distant, and being vaccinated when we have the opportunity vaccinated.
Yeah, I think the hardest part, one of the parts I felt that has been so challenging is that we don't have uniform guidance, and it's really kind of unclear. It's like, you know, social distance, but that means a different thing to everybody. And so we all have to like gauge our own risk tolerance. And I think that's what's been so challenging, because for me, my risk tolerance is very different from my friends. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of alone a lot, whereas maybe they're a little more comfortable seeing each other, but it's like, man, I feel like I'm missing out because I can't hang out with them, but they're all hanging out. So,
well, yeah, but you know, I would say you're staying healthy, but the fact is that you did spend a good amount of time being sick.
I did get sick. I worked the polls on November 3rd, and like the very next day, maybe not the next day, but I came down with something. I don't know if it was COVID or not. I was tested a couple times. It came back negative every time, but there is still some, error in those tests. So I don't really know, but I was sick for a decently long time, which my friends always make fun of me about, even today. Because I'm the one who's like, oh man, you guys shouldn't be, you know, hanging out, or oh, you're being a super spreader. And then they're like, Angela, you're the only one who's gotten sick, so why don't you can it? It's like, all right, that is fair. But try to be mindful of best practices with this kind of thing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So please help us get the podcast back up and running sooner.
Only you can save us from COVID. So please do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Or
absolutely.
Maybe they don't like the podcast and they're like, okay, I'm going to go and party it up.
Yeah. Just so we can keep the Cutters Notch podcast off the air a little bit longer. But yeah. No, we will be back. I promise. We will be back. We'll be back with fresh
material.
I'm starting to say contestants, but they're not contestants.
They could be.
Fresh material, fresh guests, and we're going to talk more books. We're going to talk more
creativity.
You know, we had Angela and I had a plan to visit my hometown last spring, and it got canceled because of COVID, and we were going to talk to one of my hometown's brightest photography Well, she's really well known for photography in my hometown, plus a kind of a local music duo that are pretty well known in central Indiana.
And David Letterman.
No, I'm just kidding. By the way, if David Letterman wants to come on the podcast, no, we would love not. To have David Letterman
sure
on the podcast.
I'm sure he would be like, what are you doing? Like, you don't, you imbeciles, like, is how you interview someone.
We're name dropping. So we'll be rescheduling some of that. So our trip to my hometown will be delayed by a year, but we're going to go do that. And we'll have some other guests. So it'll be fun.
Yeah. But let's move on. Let's actually get into things.
All right. Let's get into it. So 2020, I had a few good things happen to me. I'm not sure, you know, what you might share with this, Angela.
I don't have anything, but go for it, Dad.
Well, I did publish 3 books plus a workbook. So
he dusts off his shoulders as he says it.
Yeah. It's dandruff, but yeah.
Ew.
I published my Loving Out Loud devotional study book in January. And then I released my short story collection, Cutter's Notch Interludes, in July. And then my novel sequel, Nozomi's Battle, released in October. So
busy year for you.
Busy year for publishing.
It's one for the books.
It's one for the books. Took me 55 years to publish my first book and 3 years to publish three more. So,
isn't that crazy?
It is.
That's awesome,
it
is. Though.
It's kind of like when you get going, you just kind of create some momentum of its own.
It makes me feel like, oh, it's so possible. Like I'll read books and sometimes I'll get so into a story that I think, oh, I need to write something. Like I want to write something like this. And then I'm like, oh, I couldn't. Like, I just couldn't. It's too good. I can't. And then I'm like, when you say that, I was like, well, like, I mean, Dad did it. And he, you know, it's in middle age or what have you. So well, yeah, maybe I've got time. I could figure it out.
Yeah. Well, you definitely could. And I don't know, those of you out there in the listening world, if you haven't seen any of Angela's writing, she actually does a little bit of a blogging, although she hasn't,
occasionally.
She hasn't put out too many lately, but... she's actually quite talented, both with visual arts, but also in the writing world. I keep trying to encourage her to write, but she keeps kind of blowing me off.
Well, I think I have a creative, I mean, we all have a creative side of ourselves, but it's just expressed in different ways. And I've been kind of wrestling with that a little bit lately. Like, man, maybe I should write. Maybe I should try. And then I remember, I was like, well, like I have this art side of me. Like maybe what I could do is like express my feelings about the books, like within the art side of things, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm still figuring it out, but I'm not ready to like try to sit down and write a book or anything.
Well, I think you could write a book. I think if you wanted to do it, you have the talent and the ability and the education to do it. But I also think that you're very good at blogging. And even if that's what you focused on, I think you could be exceptionally good as a blogger. But and I'm not just being biased either. Huh. It's just because I'm your dad.
Your expression. But yeah. So,
but yeah, 2020 was not all bad. But you know, it's hard for me to think too much about the, you know, a few positive things that happened because so many negatives.
I did sort of heal my plantar fasciitis. That might be my accomplishment.
All right, there you go. There you go.
Sort of sad and old. I feel like an old lady saying that, but yeah.
Well, I've hurt my back twice.
That's not an accomplishment.
Not an accomplishment.
But I see you've got a thought bubbling in your head. What were you just thinking?
It just popped.
It's gone.
The bubble popped. I don't know what that was, but you know, I thought we'd maybe talk a little bit about some of the things in our lives that got canceled. I mean, we talked a little bit about the podcast, but almost every family activity that we have traditionally done didn't happen.
Is it canceled or adapted in some way? And some still happened. I just didn't participate in them. gosh. Yeah, that's a good question. Did you have some right off the bat that you were thinking of?
Yeah. I mean, your mom was keeping a list on we got a chalkboard in our guest bathroom downstairs, and she was keeping a list for a while.
Yeah. So
Mother's
hopeful.
Day, Father's Day.
Fourth of July. Indy 500, like all of this stuff.
Easter. I don't think we had our normal Easter gathering either.
We just ate at home on our own individually. Well,
I usually go to, the last couple of years, I've gone to over to Lima, Ohio, because that's where my dad is from, and I still have family over there. And for the last two summers, over either the weekend before or the weekend after 4th of July, we go over and a bunch of us cousins get together and have a big lunch at a restaurant. There's a restaurant there called Old Barn Out Back. Crazy name for a restaurant, but that's the name of it, Old Barn Out Back. And we would get together there, and I think last year we had something like 40 of us. Mm-hmm. That gathered. They have a buffet, so it's easy to gather your food. But we just spend time together, and that's important to me because as a child, I didn't get around my cousins much. It's only been the last few years that I've really even gotten to know some of them, and I was really looking forward to our third annual cousins lunch, and it didn't happen.
Well, it gives you more to look forward to next time around, hopefully.
Yeah,
but that is hard.
Well, and Nancy and I, we were going to take a big vacation. Mm-hmm. We take a big vacation every two or three years. And this was going to be a big, big one.
I mean, I know. Mom was talking all about it. Alaska?
Yeah, we were going to Alaska. We were going to do a land and sea cruise tour. So we were going to have about a week on the ground in Alaska and then about a week at sea. And we don't cruise much. Usually we don't do something quite that extravagant, but this was going to be a big one. It was going to celebrate our 35th wedding anniversary. And guess what?
Didn't happen.
So
I almost asked, what did you do for your 35th wedding anniversary? And then immediately regretted that thought. So
because nothing.
Yeah. I know. Gosh, I don't even know. So many things were canceled. Actually, the things that frustrated me the most were the things that weren't canceled, but that I missed out on because everybody was like, we're just going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
That makes me mad.
Well, we were trying to be really good. You know, we were trying to make sure everybody stayed safe and we didn't pass anything around. And, but it continued all the way up through Christmas. So, you know, we didn't have our normal family Christmas Eve.
Didn't have normal family Thanksgiving either, which
didn't have that.
I'm not surprised. Like, that's actually what I was anticipating. You know, I think I'd prepared myself knowing that this was coming. Like, all right, just get ready for this to be the way it is. So I wasn't really all that upset. I mean, I definitely felt a gap of not having family around. There's just like a space that's there for them that wasn't filled. So, I mean, I felt that, but I wasn't necessarily as disappointed because I had prepared myself for that possibility.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I got that I was really disappointed to miss out on besides those normal family things. So I think my family's had a Christmas Eve gathering for as long as I've been alive. I think this is the first year we've had no extended family on a Christmas Eve.
I guess I've missed out on it several times.
Yeah, you went to Australia. You missed it 1 year there. I can't remember.
I missed it a couple of times in the last couple of years with Taylor. So
Yeah, that's true.
So I missed it a few
times.
But
it didn't happen at all with me involved.
Yeah.
Now some of our extended family that would normally come, they all got together in their bubble. Their bubble's a bigger bubble than ours.
Their bubbles,
But they went ahead and met. But it was just the four of us, which was nice, the four of us being together. But we didn't have the normal family thing.
And I should specify that my sister and I both live completely alone, and my parents are out here, so we're all kind of like isolated within just the four of us. Yeah. So.
And then the last thing that didn't really happen for me in 2020 was I have another lunch that I do with. Usually it's on Christmas Eve and I go up to my hometown, which is Muncie, Indiana. Muncie, Indiana shows up in the Cutter's Notch books, basically both novels. It's shows up in the books. So, but, usually go to Muncie on Christmas Eve. My cousin Randy and I will meet at Pizza King and we have a pizza and anybody who wants to come and hang out with us comes and hangs out with us. And sometimes 1 year it was just he and I. And other years, there's been anywhere from 4 to 10 other people. And it's been a lot of fun. And we've been doing it now for several years. Mm-hmm. And, didn't happen this year.
Yeah, that's all right.
There was also, besides the pandemic, there were some other crazy stuff in the news this year.
Definitely some wildness. Do you, like the Soleimani thing happened in 2020? Qasem Soleimani, the like assassination. Do you remember that?
Remind me of that. What was that?
Like Iran, maybe.
Oh, yeah. That happened just a couple of months ago, right?
No, it happened in January of last year.
Of
2020.
Oh, yeah. Well, I forgot all about that one.
Yeah, that happened in this year. And you remember the Australian wildfires and everything that was happening? Gosh, this year's just been jam-packed.
The whole western half of the United States was on fire, too. So you had all of Australia burning and then all the western half of the United States basically on fire.
Yeah.
So
in addition to everything else, I guess.
There was another assassination also related to Iran just about a month ago.
Jeez.
So it's crazy stuff there. And then you have the election.
Yay.
Yes, the election that is over. Sort of.
It's over for most of America.
Yeah, there's a few people it's not over for, but it's over. And until the actual transition of power happens on January 20th, I think we're all kind of sitting a little bit on pins and needles.
No, I'm not. Whatever.
We're waiting to see what happens. So if anything, it will be interesting to look back on in the future. But it's enough stressors.
Honestly, the election just feels sort of non-important. Like, we impeached our president this year. Who cares? I don't know. It just seems like an afterthought compared to everything else that I feel like has been going on. So, yeah.
Well, it's just another straw on the haystack. You know, we had the drop in the bucket, the social justice issues of this year. Just
to really social like
every
justice
time
issues.
You turned around, though, every time you turned around this year, it seemed like another young black man, usually sometimes a young black woman, was killed.
And it's not like the thing I would want to say is it's actually not really unique to this year.
No.
But I think there has been a lot of tension and hopefully for the better on that.
Well, hopefully it leads us to a better place. You know, it was a very hard year. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this is something that we can look back on and say, well, yeah, it was a really, really hard year, but it was a catalyst for good things to come.
I hope so. What I really would like to see is like legitimate policy change that would benefit that, I guess, mission, for lack of a better word. And I think that will help more than just like, oh, I hope it's better. I hope we're equal. Like I would like to see legitimate action.
Change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, gotta vote for it, I guess.
Really. Change, I guess, you know, these are old axioms, I guess, but change doesn't come easy. Mm-mm. And it's usually not fast.
No.
But sometimes it is fast, but it's never easy.
I would say you have to find a way to create it as a self-interest. I don't know if that makes sense when I'm saying it. I just finished How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. And that was like one of the things they kind of land on is like the thing that fuels racism and racist acts and all that is really self-interest. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, how do I make anti-racism a self-interest for people? Like, how do I do that? So I don't know, but yeah, it's been a really, I think it's been just a weird year to try to like come to terms with a lot of that. And how you fit into it and recognize that even though maybe I was raised, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not racist. Nah, my parents, they raised me not racist, or, you know, like I'm not racist, but there's like, I mean, we're white. We benefit from it. There's no way you don't have like at all, like anything racial in your mind. And it's like, how do I deal with that? I don't know. Like it stresses me out, but you can't be afraid of it, you know?
No. Well, you have to, there are some people who don't want to talk about racism because they're afraid of it. They're afraid to talk about it. They're afraid if they talk about it, it'll make it worse. But that's not the case. If we confront it, if we face it,
it's like sucking the poison out, right? Like it's kind of like an unpleasant process.
Pretending it's not there doesn't make it go away.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's like you can't pretend cancer away.
Right. You have to deal with it.
Yeah. And it's not easy.
Well, in the way, you know, the way that I'm dealing with myself, you know, all year, well, probably for the last 2 or 3 years, my focus spiritually has been on the concept of loving one another. Mm-hmm. Loving God, loving one another, loving your neighbor, loving your enemy, even those crazy people who don't agree with you on stuff, finding a way to have compassion toward them. And I think if we as a people could embrace that concept of having compassion on others around you, it gets that focus off yourself, and you start to realize that, hey, this is just a person, and that person needs to be treated the way I'd want to be treated, and I need to make sure that they're treated. There's a passage right now that's a biblical passage that has been on my mind a lot the last couple of weeks, and it's Micah 6:8, and I'm not going to try to quote it because I'll mess up the first part for sure, but the last part of it says, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And I think, to act justly is to treat people the way that they should be treated. And then the love mercy part is to treat them well, even when they don't deserve it. And then the last part is to be humble, to walk with God, but to do it humbly. Don't be arrogant about your faith or your religion, either toward God or toward other people.
Yeah. And the thing that I think I get frustrated the most with is I think that a lot of people have found a way to twist things and to twist, you know, concepts like that into something that reflects their own self-interest. And you get to a point where it's so warped that all of a sudden they're fighting for things that really do harm and hurt other people. And that's where I get frustrated. It's like, separate yourself from this. Like, why do you feel this strongly about such and such issue? Because it's kind of, sometimes it can be heartless and it's not love, but you kind of twist it around in your head to make it seem like it is. And that's where it's like, oh man, how do you even address that? I don't know.
It's a tough thing.
It's complex. It's
something that,
I'm not really qualified to think about this guy. It got too dark here.
Yeah. You know?
And it's on your birthday.
So, yeah, again, it's, I don't know if we mentioned it.
We didn't. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Are you going to sing to me?
He's 97 years old, folks.
No, not 97. But it is, as we record here, it is my birthday. And this is part of what we're doing for my birthday celebration today. So it's
We're recording a podcast.
And then I'm going to teach my girls how to play chess.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah. And you know,
the Queen's Gambit.
Well, yeah, but I actually watched episode 2 of that last night, so I'm enjoying that show, The Queen's Gambit. But I can teach you the basic moves, but it's been a long time since I played. And the thing about chess is you have to be able to think several moves ahead, and there are strategies involved that I never really learned.
Suit.
So I can teach you the basic moves, and then we'll go from there. So, but yeah, we're gonna play a little chess. We're gonna eat some German chocolate cake with some ice cream, and then one of my favorite meals: beef and noodles with mashed potatoes.
This is a very Midwestern type.
Very
thing
Midwestern,
to eat.
Very comfort foodish.
Yeah,
so I'm looking forward to it. That's what we're doing for my birthday. So let's talk before we get too far into that. Why don't we talk a little bit about some of the people that I guess some of the folks that have meant something to us that have left the world this year.
You got the list. I have no idea. Well, I've blocked it out. I don't have enough tragedy, like heart in me left to mourn people I've never met anymore. Like I just can't.
Well, I'll just talk about some of them that meant something to me. I pulled up a couple of websites that listed them and I saw a TV, you know, each year it seems like different television programs
that like run. A montage of some kind.
They do a montage to music and they show the different people who have passed either in their industry or celebrities or whoever. Yeah. But these are some people that actually meant something to me when I was a youngster.
Mm-hmm. So I won't know who they are.
You might know some of them, but probably not all of them.
Well, you're 97 years old, Dad. Like,
well, I'm not 97 years old. But probably the one on the list that was probably the biggest name that meant a lot to me as a youngster is Joe Morgan.
Yep. I don't know who that is.
Who that is? Joe Morgan is...
Is it Captain Morgan?
Well, I don't know. He might have had some
That might have meant something for now.
But he was actually perhaps one of the best second basemen to ever play baseball.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
He played on the Big Red Machine, which probably doesn't mean anything to you. Back in the mid-1970s, the Cincinnati Reds were called the Machine, and they had series of years where they were dominant. They dominated the league, and some of the other players on the team were like Pete Rose. I know you've heard of Pete Rose. Johnny Bench, Tony Perez, Dave Concepcion, George Foster.
Yeah, none of these names
Cesar Geronimo, Ken Griffey. The original Ken Griffey, not Ken Griffey Jr. But there was a time back in 73 and 74 when I literally could name almost every player on their roster, which was something like 20 or 25.
Clearly,
players.
You still can.
Well, not all of them.
Listing them all out here.
I could have named a few more.
I don't know who these guys are.
Back then, I would have been able to tell you the stats for all the starters.
I would have been like, it would be in one ear and out the other. None of that means anything to me.
But Joe Morgan was a second baseman. He was also a base stealer. So if he got on base, he was probably going to steal second base.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually had a pretty good home run slugging capability. So he could get base hits, he could steal bases, he could hit home runs, and he was a Golden Glove fielder. He was really, really good. And unfortunately he passed away this year.
Mm-hmm.
So There were at least three or four other baseball players that passed away. That was the one that meant the most to me. But we also lost Phil Niekro about a week ago. Phil Niekro.
You've seen my face. Like, I don't know.
You don't know who that is. But Phil Niekro was, he could throw something called a knuckleball.
So this is another baseball player.
Another baseball player. He's a pitcher.
I did not know baseball was so big for you. Like, I knew you played but I never realized how much you liked it.
I loved baseball all the way up until the last player strike. During the last player strike in the late, I think it was the late 80s. Maybe it was in the 90s. I guess it was in the 90s. It just turned me off. And I stopped watching.
Huh. I thought that you couldn't care at all about that.
Back in the day, I was all about, especially the Reds. But I followed baseball pretty heavily.
Oh, I know that now.
But Phil Niekro played for competing teams, so it was always a pain when we had to play against him because he threw something called a knuckleball, which the thing about knuckleballs for a pitcher is you never really know where it's going to go. There's curveballs. There's fastballs, a pretty much straight line.
Yeah.
And a curveball or slider, basically whichever way it turns, curves into the catcher mitt. As long as you can kind of figure out which way it's curving, you can hit it. But the knuckleball, when they would throw that, nobody knew what it was going to do.
Goodness.
It was crazy. But he played till he was like 48 years old.
He was a pitcher.
He was a pitcher.
Not a belly itcher.
No.
I just wanted to clarify.
Well, he might have been a belly itcher too, but he was a pitcher, but he played exceptionally long time. He played well into his 40s, which is very, very unusual.
Yeah.
But he passed away this year. Lou Brock, another baseball great that passed this year. He played for St. Louis Cardinals, was also a base stealer.
Did
he
you actually, only look up baseball players? You're like, no, I'm looking up a celebrity
these
list.
These are the ones that mattered to me, right? Okay. These are the ones I cared about.
I'm sorry. I'm totally there, and I respect that. I'm just like, man, Dad loves baseball. This is like a revelation for me.
Well, I'm going to skip a couple others on here, but I had also Charlie Pride. You ever heard that? Oh,
yes. He was a musician.
Musician, singer.
Aha. Yeah.
Country music singer. Mm-hmm. African-American country music singer from when I was a kid.
Yeah, I know who he is.
But he was often played on our radio at home. My mom was a fan. I enjoyed listening to his music too. And, hadn't heard anything from him in ages, but he passed away this last year. So it was... Yeah. That was another one.
I think that one was complications from COVID-19, wasn't it? Or
pretty might sure. Have been. Might have been.
Yeah.
There were a few. Another one that passed this year that was a baseball great for the Cincinnati Reds, but before that with the New York Mets was Tom Seaver. He was a great pitcher.
You know this stuff. Oh, yeah. Well, before that, the New York Mets. You're like,
he passed away from complications. He had a pre-existing condition, but he passed away from COVID-19. So that was,
I hate this disease.
It was a sucky year. So many key people from my childhood seem to be dropping like flies.
Yeah.
This year.
Gosh, so, I'm sorry, Dad. I didn't realize how many of these, people you looked up to.
Oh, and I'm sure if I went down the list, when I watched the thing play across the screen the other day, I can't remember what show it was on, but, I was like, oh, he died too. Oh, she died too. It's like, wow.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's tough. Tough year. And some of them died from COVID-19.
Some of them other things.
And some of them just other things. But it just seemed like this was a bad year for them.
Yeah.
So, any...
It's also been a good year for people having babies, because I feel like everyone I know has had, a child, and I think it's because you guys have all been trapped inside with your respective partners.
I guarantee you that your mom and dad will not be having a baby.
I don't need
from this pandemic.
I don't want to have another little person to compete with.
Speaking of that, we've got competition on the podcast front. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah. Prince Harry and Meghan have their own podcast.
They totally can't stand up to us. I would listen to that.
My guess is they have about a million times more listeners than we do already, and they just started it.
I think we have two listening.
All two of you.
I don't know.
You're in India, too. Well, Jim Babb listens. Hi, Jim Babb. Shout out to Jim Babb.
Hi, Jim. Jim's our biggest fan.
Yes, and he will tell you, what will he tell you, Angela? To not be so hard on your dad, right?
I was like, I don't think that he would. I think that I'm just the right amount of hard on you.
Oh, okay. Well, Well, let's look forward to 2021. What are you looking forward to in the coming year?
Getting vaccinated. That would be cool. I look forward to wearing cute outfits places.
not just alone in front of the mirror.
I'm really trying to set the bar low because honestly, we have no idea how soon this is going away. Like there's probably, I mean, I'm not an expert and I actually am only saying this like through secondhand knowledge, but people are saying maybe in this, you know, spring and summer, but I don't think it'll be that soon. That's like a best case scenario. So I'm trying to keep the bar low and look forward to little things and be pleasantly surprised if it goes a lot better. If everything were good and everything was kind of cool and not dangerous, I'd love to go to a movie and eat popcorn and have some milk duds and just watch a movie.
I want to travel.
Yeah, well, you have more money than me.
Well, it's not even that. You know, I have a job, a day job, mm-hmm. right? My day job is not podcasting or writing books yet. But I do have a day job, and that day job is supposed to take me places. I'm supposed to be traveling for work.
Yeah, you're going to be busy once you get kind of back to normal on that.
Yeah, and actually, my new position means that I'm actually covering, I have my own personal geography, but I'm also managing folks that basically cover the whole United States. So I'll be traveling all over the country.
Start buying those little spoons, you know,
not happening. Maybe an occasional t-shirt, right. Maybe a t-shirt in an airport once in a while. I don't know, but I'm not going to be, collecting spoons of all
things. Spoons or shot glasses. I know you're super into that,
but I want to travel not just for work, but for personal stuff. You know, it's like I really, usually I have to take a trip somewhere warm in the wintertime, and then that's not going to happen this year, and that's going to be tough. But my wife gave me one of those happy lamps.
Yeah, she calls them a happy lamp. Yeah. But yeah, I got those. Get some vitamin D in you. It's
supposed to help with
seasonal affective disorder.
That's it.
That's what they call it. Sad.
It's sad.
Well, and that's what I really want to visit. One of my closest friends lives in Ottawa now. Like Canada does not want us in their country right now. So I haven't been able to see her. And I had some kind of hard stuff happen earlier this summer. So I was my first thought immediately when some of that, I was going through some of that, I was like, oh man, I need to see Amanda. And then I was like, oh, I can't. Yeah. Justin Trudeau won't let us in the country and probably for good reason. And so
can't blame him. Can't blame him now. And I hopefully Nancy and I are going to get to go visit our friends, Brian and Becky. And we're talking about a joint vacation to Montana. So that might happen. I'd love for that to happen if things open up enough. You know, if people get vaccinated, and the hospitals are no longer in a crunch and mm-hmm. we're vaccinated, I think maybe by late summer we'll be able to do some of that stuff. I'm hoping.
But, I just want to go out to a club and kiss a stranger.
All right, folks out there, here's your chance.
Anybody single out there?
Apparently nobody wanted a personal letter from Angela. So they didn't get that. But here's your chance for a random kiss.
I'm also kind of picky. So, you know, don't get excited.
Brush your teeth just in case. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to simple things like going out to breakfast.
I just want to date. Do you have any idea how hard it is to you don't.
Well, not anymore.
You can't date anybody in this. I mean, I guess some people are trying to do video stuff, but I can't just meet somebody unless it's my mailman, which the thought has crossed my mind.
What, your mailman?
He's kind of cute.
Well, he's got a good job.
So there.
Yeah, there is that.
Probably getting a little too personal here, so we can move along.
All right. Well, why don't we start to wind this down, and let's talk. We usually do this at the beginning.
I know. I thought maybe you forgot about it.
I did sort of at the beginning, so this is why we're doing it now. But at the creative moment of the episode, I think that's the first time I said it the way I wanted to say it.
Yeah, because we kind of keep changing it.
Yeah, so we'll talk a little bit about what we have enjoyed or what we're in the middle of enjoying, creativity. I messed that word up.
You almost had it.
Almost had it. Creatively.
Creatively.
There you go. That might be part that gets snipped out of this.
Maybe not. Maybe just leave it in.
Sometimes I usually do leave it
in. You know, be you. Be a human.
Yeah. So what do you have to share?
I finally have read new books since the last time. So I just finished and just started Shadow and Bone by Lee Bardugo. I don't know if I pronounced her name accurately, but this is the second book of hers that I read this summer. I think I read Ninth House, which is one of her newer books, but Shadow and Bone, it's like the beginning of a trilogy that's sort of a YA fantasy book, which is totally my genre for like guilty pleasure reading, escapism, kind of like get me out of my own life. And it was so good. I couldn't stop. Like I couldn't put it down. I think I started it the evening of the 28th. I read the first five or six chapters. I was like, man, I'm going to have to really read this tomorrow. I'm excited. And then the next day when I sat down for bed, I was like, I read this. And at 1:30, I was done. So 1:30 in the morning last night, I finished the book. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't stop. And of course on the day that I started, I was like, oh, this is good enough that I think I'll go ahead and order the next two books. I'll probably like those. So I ordered them online thinking, oh, no big deal. I've got time. I've got this whole book to read. And so I didn't pay for like any kind of expedited shipping. And so now I finished the book and I don't know what to do with myself because I'm waiting for the two books to ship and they're not supposed to be here until like maybe January 4th. So I'm suffering.
Oh man.
But I did start another book to try to distract me from trying to not live in that world, which they are making a Netflix series of. So in April they're coming out with a Shadow and Bone Netflix series.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. But right now I've started reading a book that you may know. It's called Loving Out Loud.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
Yeah. It's a book by, the illustrious. Is that a good word or is that kind of a negative connotation?
Illustrious seems fine to me.
I don't know. The most amazing writer of all time, a contemporary classic, Michael R. DeCamp.
Hey, well, thanks.
Yeah. So I'm reading, I just started that one. I think I got through the intro stuff and starting on it.
Getting ready for chapter one.
Yeah. I think like that one, it's a smaller book than I expected it to be. So I feel like it could be kind of a good one, like a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to reading that one. And hopefully by the time I finish it, the other books will be here and I can finish the series.
Yeah, there you go. It should be a pretty quick read. It depends on how you approach it. I have had people basically read it in a sitting, but it's also kind of designed to be kind of a devotional book.
Yeah,
so you'll do maybe one chapter a week or one chapter a day. Something.
Yeah, I'm going to probably do it all in the next few days. Yeah. We'll see. I've just got a lot of books on my nightstand that I'm trying to read now that like the last book that I read, it was so good. It was that How to Be an Anti-Racist, which I mentioned before, but it is a lot to process. So I just couldn't read it all because even if I wanted to, like it was a lot to process. So now that I've finished that book, I'm like, okay, let me see if I can get through all of these other books I've been putting off for so long. So the Shadow and Bone book is just really good. It's like I feel like the world is really interesting. It's very easy to read. Obviously there's like magic and stuff and, you know, romance, which I like. So yeah.
Cool.
And you, good sir.
Well, I'm in the middle of reading something called Inspired, written by Rachel Held Evans, which I think I've mentioned before, but I tend to go back and forth. I'll read stuff for fun and then I'll turn around and read something that's either historical or
like fiction versus nonfiction,
spiritual kinda enrichment kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, of course, Inspired was recommended. I think you've read it.
No, nope.
No, you haven't read it.
I have. That's one of the books on my stack. Yeah.
Has Andrea read it?
Andrea has read it.
And Nancy's read it. And then Nancy gave me her copy, said I should read it. And I really am enjoying it. I'll probably be finished with it by tomorrow. I enjoy books that challenge my thinking spiritually, that kind of go outside the box. And Rachel Held Evans is very good at that. And this is an excellent, excellent book to have your mind stretched spiritually when it comes to your understanding of Scripture.
For Christianity.
Christianity.
Yeah.
Then read Inspired by Rachel Held Evans. I am highly recommending it, even though I'm not quite finished yet. It's a very, very good book. Yeah,
I've only ever heard really good things about it. And I definitely have heard that it is somewhat of a, like, it can be.
I think for someone who's struggling with their faith, I think it, because she struggles and she's been very open. She's passed away now. Mm-hmm. Prematurely.
Yeah, it was sort of a tragedy.
One thing that she was always very open about was her own personal struggles with Scripture and how Scriptures were applied.
She tweeted at me once.
Did she really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, she was on Twitter quite a bit. And I think I was going to visit I can't even remember the kind of church it was, but I was going to visit one that it's where she sort of ended up. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted about it I'm going here nervous or whatever. And she was she replied and she was don't be afraid or whatever. It's going to it's different from what you're used to. But yeah, she definitely, she encouraged me. And so I was I had a little bit of everybody who knows her personally always talks about how wonderful and great she was. So obviously I didn't know her, but we did tweet together one time. So that feels good to me.
Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, the other things I've read since we podcasted, I read something called Malocchio, Dark Magic of the Evil Eye.
Oh.
that was written by a man by the name of Nicholas Anthony. And the interesting thing about that is for my day job, I had to contact a new customer who represents our product. And this woman is over marketing and communication for this company. And I was talking to her and it came up that I was an author and she just ecstatic because she says, my husband's an author.
Oh, neat.
And so this is her husband's book. And so I read it. It was definitely a dark story, but it was, it wasn't a very long story, but it was very, very well done. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it quite a bit. So Malocchio,
Dark Magic of the Evil Eye. Stories don't have to be long to be good. Some of the best Game of Thrones episodes were the 45 minute ones and not the hour long ones.
Right.
So.
And this one basically is set in World War II, but it's this, kind of like American Gods, it's kind of a different, world,
alternative reality, kind
of a fantasy.
Maybe.
It's set in the real world, but World War II era.
Yeah,
but it's there's this battle between good and evil among the gods. Gods.
That's cool.
So it's a very interesting story. And then after that, I read The Lover's Lane Murders by Cynthia Hickey.
Okay.
And Cynthia Hickey is the owner of Winged Publications.
Oh.
Who is my publisher. So I thought, if I'm going to write for her, then I should read something that she's written.
And
she's written a number of books. She's been on the New York Times bestseller list. But The Lover's Lane Murders is basically a fictionalized story of some murders that happened in Texarkana, Arkansas, back in the day. So very, very interesting. And then I'm about to start a book. Let me find it here. Tinderbox. It's called The Tinderbox, Soldier of Indira by Lou Diamond Phillips.
Wow.
The actor.
Yeah, so, yeah. This is your favorite little guy on Twitter.
My favorite little guy?
I don't know.
I'm not sure I would put it that
it's
way.
It's your favorite little guy.
Well, kind of like Rachel Held Evans tweeted it.
Yeah, you guys had a little tweet interaction.
He will occasionally tweet back at me.
Yeah.
And not all the time.
I like it when you find somebody who's kind of famous, but not so famous that they don't interact. And then you feel oh, I'm kind of cool.
The cool thing about him is that he interacts with a lot of his fans.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of them. Yeah. But he interacts with his fans regularly, so mm-hmm. that's kind of cool. And I actually sent him a copy of Abandoned Hope back in the day. He gave me an address for his management company, and I sent it to him, and he told me he got it. So that's kind of cool, but I bought his book, and I tweeted that, I picked it up, and he liked it. He liked the tweet, so that was kind of cool. Anyway, I'm going to read that probably next. So The Tinderbox, Soldier of Indira. And that looks pretty interesting. And then as far as stuff I've been watching, and I've been watching some series on Netflix. I mentioned earlier The Queen's Gambit.
Yep.
Also, I watched the first two seasons of Broadchurch.
Okay.
On Netflix.
Have you watched Bridgerton yet?
No, and I probably won't.
It's not your cup of tea.
No, that's not my...
I didn't even like... It's a little too soapy for me to really like. I love the Regency era type stuff, and I kind of like, you know, I don't know. I guess I liked it. I was hopeful, but I feel like, it's just a little too soapy for me to love. I liked it. I didn't love it.
Yeah. Well, I've been enjoying lately these British or United Kingdom related crime series. Mm-hmm. So I watched Hinterland. I think there were 7 or 8 seasons of that. Maybe it was only 6. Anyway, I watched that for a while. And then I started watching Broadchurch just this last week. And basically I've watched, I think, 17 or 18 episodes. I think 17 episodes now. I'm in the third season.
I keep like Netflix is doing a very smart thing and timing all of their releases to come out like just enough time in between the first and the last and the next one. And it's like, oh man. And now that I know that this book that I'm obsessing over is about to be a Netflix series, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a teaser trailer, which isn't really show you much of anything. And I've looked up the cast and I know who everybody is and I'm excited. Although like the only thing that I don't like about when they do an adaptation from like a book, especially a YA book, is I feel like they always make it not good. like they've done City of Bones. I don't know if you're familiar with that. They've done that like in a movie and they've done it in a TV show. I think they've done 2 different TV shows and it just never quite hits right for me. And this one, I'm just worried that they're going to make the characters too teenagery or too like cheesy, or it's going to ruin it for me. So now I'm like, I have to finish the series so I can enjoy the series before it gets ruined by the... I hope that it doesn't get ruined. It would be great if the Netflix series was good, but I don't know. I'm nervous. All right.
Now, we as a family, we just watched the new blockbuster movie.
Oh, yes.
Wonder Woman 1984.
I was trying to time it with you.
What did you think of that one?
I actually did like it. I didn't love it. And I don't think it was any better than the first one. The first one was just really good. I loved the fashion of it, and I thought Kristen Wiig was pretty decent in her role. I did feel like it was missing a little bit of, there's just something in it that it was missing. Or no, what it was I feel like they tried to cram too much into the movie. Like there are 2 big villains that like, I feel like it would have been a little easier if it was just one. They could have gone deeper with that.
Yeah, that's probably true. And I'll say that while I enjoyed the movie, it was not one of my favorite.
Yeah, you weren't a big fan of it. I remember afterwards you were kind of like disappointed.
I was kind of disappointed. I felt like it was kind of how they brought it to a conclusion felt contrived to me.
Yeah, it felt like maybe it was trying, but I did like the message. I thought it was a good message.
I thought Kristen Wiig actually did a really good job. Mm-hmm. And I think the actress that plays Wonder Woman is exceptional.
She's so pretty. I was thinking, that's the look I'm going to go for in 2021. I was like, I'm just going to be her.
There you go.
I'm looking at myself in the mirror. I'm like, I don't know.
And maybe you can find your Chris Pine out there somewhere.
Yeah, well, then, you know, that would be great. Chris Pine is the best Chris, and I will take
the best
other
of the Chris's.
Yes, he is the best of the Chris's.
Well, Gal Gadot
this is a very important
the best of the gals, too.
She's the best gal around. But yeah, that is a big internet debate. Dad, you have to pick the best Chris.
I don't think I have to pick it.
Well,
that might be something that you need to do, but I don't need to do it.
I think you can.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to add?
I don't know. I feel like this episode's been sort of all over the place.
And we have been all over the board and we're pushing at 55 minutes.
So. RIP 2020. I want to just start a big fire. This is one of my friends, Dan. He tweeted online. He's like, I just want to have a fire and burn things. Like all the things that I hated about 2020 into the fire on New Year's Eve. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a good idea. We should have a big bonfire and just throw stuff in it and dance around and cry and stuff. like a Viking funeral for the
Well, that's a thought. That's a thought. If we could, if doing that would somehow magically make the world a better place, I would do it in a heartbeat. Yeah. But I think
it's still kind of cathartic, I guess.
Yeah, just to cleanse the palate of the bitter tasting year that
start fresh. I love New Year's. I do resolutions every time. I'm all about it. So I'm ready for 2021. And I'd talk more about it, but I get the sense that we probably talked way too long already.
Well, we might have. Folks, thank you for joining us for this podcast. And thank you for being for listening to the Cutter's Notch podcast, the previous 25 episodes or so. I think this is number 26. Might be 25 or 26. But thank you very much for joining us. We look forward to coming back to you again.
If the world hasn't ended.
So long as the world is still here and we're still kicking. We will be back in the springtime with some fresh episodes. Yeah. So look forward to that. And thanks to our sound guy.
Bill Whitehair, the coolest sound guy around, our coolest editing producer. He's the best. Producer.
I couldn't think of the right word.
He's our producer, I guess.
Yeah. So thank you, Bill, for the work that you do.
You should probably pay him.
Yeah. I'll give him a 10% raise next year.
10% of zero is what?
zero. So I do appreciate the work that he's done in helping make this podcast possible. I want to thank our other hosts that have joined us occasionally, Nancy DeCamp and Andrea DeCamp.
They get an honorable mention, I guess. An
honorable mention. And I thank all of our guests that we've had over the last about a year and a half. We've had a number of guests. We've had authors. We've had people who work with stained glass. We've had a comedian. We've had, I can't remember all the others that we had. That's why I don't mention names, because I'm going to mess it up. But
yeah. But yeah, we've had a bit of fun with that and with these guests. Yeah. So it's nice of them to donate their time to just sit down and talk with us.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to doing it again soon. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear me, I am probably going to be on another podcast as a guest.
Ooh.
Sometime in the coming weeks. The podcast is Brother Brother Beercast. That's the name of the podcast.
That sounds fun. Brother, I want to be on it. And if you want to keep up with me, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Angela DeCamp. And Dad, you're on Twitter too. Do you not want people to know that?
No, I don't mind if they know it. I just can't. You're asking me to tell them. Yeah, what
don't
my,
worry about it. Just follow me. You're fine. And
you
I'm
can
on,
just search for me and I'll be on there.
Michael DeCamp or Mike DeCamp. I'm on Instagram, Angela DeCamp. Twitter, Angela DeCamp. I mostly tweet about urban planning and stuff. So
actually, my Twitter is Mike DeCamp 1. So the number one.
Mike DeCamp. He's the number one Mike DeCamp.
At Mike DeCamp number one.
So
not number sign, just the number one.
You mean, okay. obviously, if you feel so compelled, you can rate us or review us online. I guess something about the algorithm makes it, I don't know if that's actually true. Everybody just says that it is on their podcast, but the algorithm makes it show up a little bit easier for people who are searching for it. Yeah. So give us a rating or review if you feel so compelled. And
that's it.
That's it. Happy New Year.
Goodbye 2020.
And good riddance.
See ya in 21.
The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. New episodes drop approximately twice a month. You can email Michael at authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Michael DeCamp is the author of two novels, Abandoned Hope, Cutter's Notch Book 1, and Nozomi's Battle, Cutter's Notch Book 2, a collection of short stories entitled Cutter's Notch Interludes, and one nonfiction Christian devotional book entitled Loving Out Loud, Learning to Love in a Hate-Filled World. All books can be found on Amazon or ordered from your local bookseller. Please join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.